Acts chapter 18, resuming our study in verse 23. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go back to verse 22. And when he, speaking of the Apostle Paul, landed at Caesarea and had gone up and saluted the church, he went on to Antioch. So Paul, returning from his missionary journey, stops off at Jerusalem just briefly, and then heads back to his home church in Antioch. Verse 23, and after he had spent some time there, he departed and went through all the country of Galatia, Phrygia, in order, strengthening all the disciples. In verse 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Apollos shows up in Ephesus where Aquila and Priscilla were ministering, you remember last time. And Apollos understood the word of God, and he was a good teacher. Verse 25. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So Apollos didn't understand the full revelation concerning Christ, but he faithfully taught what he knew. And here we see the sovereignty of God, which led him to Aquila and Priscilla so that he could be enlightened further concerning Scripture and specifically Jesus. You know, we would do well to follow Apollos' example, to live and teach what we know, and be open to learn even more, as long as it's backed by Scripture. 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla had heard him, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So this worked out really well. Aquila did not know the Bible like Apollos, but Apollos didn't know Jesus like Aquila. And so do you see the hand of God at work bringing these two together? Iron sharpens iron. That's what Scripture says. Everyone who loves the Lord and believes his word has something to contribute to Christ. Verse 27. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting his disciples to receive him. And when he had come, he helped them much who had believed through grace. You know, we can choose to have faith, but if we do, it's only because of God's grace, as mentioned here in verse 27. Apollos was able to greatly help the young Christians because he was able to teach them the word of God, all by God's grace. 28, for he mightily refuted the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. If the Jews thought they had arguments against Jesus being the Messiah, then Apollos destroyed those arguments with the word of God. And maybe they didn't all turn to Christ, but they should have. Because Apollos was able to prove from Scripture that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that's enough reason for anyone to become a Christian. Let's go into chapter 19. Chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, let's stop there for a second, and these certain disciples whom Paul discovered as we will see, had been baptized by John the Baptist, sort of like Apollos, and that was about it. That's all they knew. So, like Apollos, their knowledge of Jesus was spotty at best. Verse 2, and he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit, having believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there is any Holy Spirit. And this certainly cannot mean that they didn't know the Holy Spirit existed, because even John the Baptist spoke of the Holy Spirit. And of course, the Old Testament, from the very first verse of the Bible, spoke of the Holy Spirit. So it must mean that they had not heard of the Holy Spirit's new ministry since the day of Pentecost, which would include indwelling all Christians. Verse 3, and he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe in him who should come after him, that is, in Christ Jesus. So these people may have had some knowledge of the teacher Jesus or of the miracle worker Jesus, but they didn't know that he was the resurrected Christ. Verse 5. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So when they heard the truth, they accepted it. And in the name of Jesus, they were baptized, which means they were baptized in keeping with our Lord's command to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because that is the formula that Jesus gave. 6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And there were about 12 men in all. And this is where the mainline church's sacrament of confirmation comes from. And of course, whether it's confirmation or someone saying the sinner's prayer, the person must want Jesus just like these disciples did, or there won't be any giving of the Holy Spirit. You know, simply going through a ritual never resulted in the Holy Spirit entering into anyone's life. Verse 8, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading about the things concerning the kingdom of God. Paul had an insatiable drive to talk about Jesus. And it didn't matter what it was, Jewish resistance, someone's lack of understanding, or even physical threats could not lessen that drive. He just wanted to talk about Jesus, and he just wanted to proclaim the word of God. And I can completely identify with him. 9. But when diverse ones were hardened and believed not, but spoke evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and took away the disciples, holding discussions daily in the school of one Tyrannus. It says, but when diverse ones were hardened and believed not, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them. You know, it's good to teach the word of God to anyone who will listen. But when it becomes clear that some are not listening, and especially when it's clear that they are instead blaspheming the word of God, then it's good to get away from them. And that's what Paul did. I'm not going to hang around with people who blaspheme the word of God. I'm not going to hang around and listen to people mock those who love Jesus. And I'm not going to coddle those who disrespect the Lord Jesus Christ and call people who love him crazy. Jesus created me, and I worship him. I guess that makes me crazy. What's the matter with me? I worship and serve my Creator. Jesus sustains me. The Bible says that he's the one who holds every single atom in my body together. If Jesus, just hypothetically, if Jesus would hiccup and lose concentration for a half a second and release my atoms, I would immediately explode into nothingness. So yes, I guess I'm crazy for worshiping Jesus because he holds me together. And oh yes, yes, before I forget, I was a hell-bound sinner destined for the lake of fire where I was going to burn forever and ever in horrible torment, paying for my sins. But instead, Jesus died on the cross and saved me from hell. And he gives me eternal life instead. So, yeah, I serve him. I guess I'm crazy, huh? For worshiping Jesus. You can call me crazy if you want. I don't care. I say everyone should be crazy. 10. And this continued for the space of 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And so during the 2+ years, Paul headquartered in Ephesus. You might find this interesting if you're familiar with Scripture. The 7 churches of Asia Minor mentioned in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, came into existence. He started those things right here. 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. You know, I would say any miracle is a major event. But the Bible says that God did special miracles by the hands of Paul while he was in Ephesus. Perhaps God did more dramatic miracles there because it was such a hotbed of demonic and supernatural activity. Satan did miracles, so God did super miracles. Which is just a reminder that God is always one step ahead of the devil. And he always provides what is needed to counter Satan's deceptions. And if nothing else, we can always find those things written in the Word of God. The Word of God is more powerful than Satan's miracles. The Word of God is more powerful than Satan's deceptions. 12. Let's read 11 along with it. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons from his body were brought unto the sick, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. And so God anointed Paul's handkerchiefs in order to extend the range of the apostles' ministry. 13. And then certain of the vagabond Jews, oh boy, you know what? I think we're going to stop at verse 12, because verse 13 starts a whole new segment of this chapter, and I don't want to interrupt the flow of it by just reading and looking at one or two verses here. So we'll pick it up in verse 13 next time. I think you're going to find it an interesting portion of Scripture.